And then if they win the aggregate number of votes in the provincial assemblies, we would be quite prepared to hold elections to the National Assembly. Now, sir, the point is this, that no progress was made. And on the contrary, the agitation in the streets continued. On the contrary, more appeals were made for black days and green days and yellow days and hartals and counter-hartals and marches and long marches and short marches and paya jam and all sorts of things continued unabated, violence in the streets, grenades being used and coming out with weapons, all these things continued and continued, despite these efforts that we were making all the time to have a dialogue and to find some answer to the national crisis and to the impasse. But progress was not achieved. Now, in this situation, some friendly countries also got engaged in the efforts to bring about reconciliation, and I must pay here tributes, especially to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, King Khalid of Saudi Arabia was most concerned, and he made and has made sincere efforts to try to bring the situation under control and to help and assist us in this connection. Also, as you know, others have also tried. President of United Arab Emirates, Sheikh Zayed, he sent his foreign minister to Pakistan. The president of Libya, President Gaddafi, sent his foreign minister, and we have received messages from the Crown Prince of Kuwait that he would also like to see what could be done in the matter to assist as friends and brothers in overcoming our present difficulties. And we have received a similar message from the PLO leader, Yasser Arafat, that he would also like to send someone. All these friendly countries, all these Muslim countries, deeply interested in Pakistan's welfare and Pakistan's future, have tried to do their best. But again, as I said, as on our side, we are thankful to all of them, but most of all to Saudi Arabia. I repeat again, because Saudi Arabia was the first and the most vitally concerned country, for reasons that I do not have to state here. And the Saudi Arabian ambassador, who has acted as a special envoy of King Khalid, whether it has been the one of a steady policy or not, that he can himself reveal if he chooses to do so. But I will speak about our own efforts. Now, you know, Mr. Speaker, sir, that in Lahore, I went and met one of the opposition leaders, the leader of the leader of the Jamaat-e-Islami, and I had a discussion with him on the subject, because at one stage he had put forward certain proposals, and then he had said that those proposals had not been accepted, or that the government had rejected those proposals. The clarification was issued that the government had not rejected those proposals. And I went to meet this gentleman, and I spoke to him on the crisis. We had a discussion on the subject. I would not like to speak more on that matter, but I went to him with the view to finding some way out of the deadlock. Then, after that, you know that I have had, I think, 4 meetings with Maulana Mufti Mahmood. I have met him on 4 different occasions with the same purpose of trying to resolve the deadlock. I met Peer Pagaro also in Rawalpindi on the 30th. On the 29th or 30th of last month, I met Peer Pagaro as well, and we had a long discussion on the crisis. Now, Sir, the point is this, that the opposition gave a demand, 32 or 33 demands, and you have seen all these 32 and 33 demands given by the opposition. I do not have to dilate on it. I already have expressed my opinion. I have said that if the problem, if the crisis is fundamental, well, then if the crisis is elementary, then we must have fundamental and elementary problems before us in order to resolve them. But you know that they have presented 32 to 33 demands. Now, sir, the point is that we have not done anything to upset or foul the atmosphere. We have not made any statements or taken any actions which would impede the course of negotiations. On the contrary, I have mentioned to you the various steps we have taken to resolve the crisis. The number of times that I have met the opposition leaders in order to find a solution in the interest of the nation. Now you have heard, sir, that the opposition has demanded the dissolution of the National Assembly, and they gave a certain time frame within which elections could be held afresh for the National Assembly. Now, sir, the point is this, that I have told the opposition that I am prepared to consider their reasons for the dissolution of the National Assembly, but they should also hear my reasons for not being in a position to dissolve the National Assembly. Let us meet at the negotiating table. You express your point of view, why you want the National Assembly to be dissolved, and I will hear you. Then hear me, and you hear me, and then we can decide. I hear your reasons, you hear my reasons. I am not saying that I am not prepared to hear you on this subject, although I have taken a position, but I am prepared to discuss with you, to hear you on the dissolution of the National Assembly, but you must also hear my reasons. Why the National Assembly cannot be dissolved? Then we can come to some understanding. Now, in the beginning, the opposition said, well, if that is going to be the attitude, that you hear us and we hear you, in that case, we will hold discussions and we will come to the negotiating table. But later on, they changed that position. And they said that no, first you concede without any discussion that the National Assembly will be dissolved, and then we will come and discuss all other points with you. First you concede. In other words, they made it a precondition that you must first agree before any discussion, before any meeting, to the dissolution of the National Assembly election and National Assembly and elections to be held soon thereafter, and then all the other points which are attached to it, which are connected to it, will be discussed afterwards. Now, in my last meeting, which I had held with Maulana Mufti Mahmood on the 11th, I told him that how do you expect me to concede beforehand to dissolve the National Assembly? If I do that, what is the point of negotiations? Then what is there that we have to discuss? If I take the decision, if I already agree that the National Assembly should be dissolved, then there are only two matters which need to be discussed. An impartial machinery and the supervision of the elections through an impartial body, and the timing of the elections. the time frame of the elections is already in the constitution. But then the only thing that we have to discuss is the question of an independent machinery, the election commission and other matters. I said that in that case there is nothing left to discuss. There is nothing left to negotiate. And so I said that this is being very unreasonable, very unfair, that you attach a precondition and you say that first we accept the National Assembly election and afterwards we will discuss all our other points. I said, how can I accept that position? I would like a total settlement. I would like a whole settlement, a comprehensive settlement. I would like to see the give and take of the balance. I cannot just take that unilateral step and afterwards you press all your other demands one after the other, no matter how reasonable or unreasonable they are. Let us discuss the totality of your main demands. National Assembly may be the central problem. The dissolution of the National Assembly may be the main issue, but at the same time we must see what other demands, what other steps have to be taken in this matter. For instance, they talk about withdrawal of forces in Balochistan. I have said, yes, in principle, we agree that the armed forces should be withdrawn from Balochistan now that the situation has improved in Balochistan. But how and when, the timetable of that is not in my hands. That is in the hands of the armed forces. If there's a man sitting on top of a mountain, we ask him to come down. Well, he will come down. But how long? Let's do the man on top of the mountain. The army cannot just be told that you... These matters require discussion. The army point of view, their position on the subject has to be considered. Their time frame, their timetable, all that has to be taken into account. So I said, these things all call for a discussion. And as far as the emergency is concerned, I said, yes, I've agreed in principle to lift the emergency. But the point is, now, when should the emergency be lifted? We have gone through the election, it has been a nightmare as to what we have seen during the election. Do we want, and the emergency did not come in the way of an election campaign. They held their elections. They had no complaints against the emergency. No one was arrested under the emergency laws. No public meetings were stopped during the emergency. But now we have seen that, now if you can say this is not an emergency in Pakistan, then what is an emergency? Yes, when I made the statement, at that time conditions were more normal. But now everyone admits that there is a crisis in Pakistan. There is a serious crisis in Pakistan. Situation has materially changed. There has been foreign intervention. And so the point is, There have been internal disturbances and there has been massive foreign intervention. Now, in that situation, how do you expect me to lift the emergency straight away? Yes, I have agreed in principle, but at the same time, the situation has changed. And now we will have to consider when we can lift the emergency. You and us, let us sit together and decide when we can lift the emergency. Lifting of the martial law, yes, in these three cities, that is also possible, provided you call a halt to the agitational politics. So, on the 11th night, Maulana Mufti Mahmood told me, I understand. You want to discuss, and he did that, you want to discuss the whole thing together. I said, yes. So, I want to discuss the whole thing together. There's no question of agreeing first to the dissolution of the National Assembly election, National Assembly, and then not discussing all the connected factors, important connected factors, relevant connected factors, and that will take a day or two. And I at least left on a hopeful note. that he understood the point and that there will be some discussions very soon. He said, I will discuss the matter with my colleagues and I will send you a reply tomorrow. And so yesterday I told the press that I have not yet received the reply. Now last night I received this reply, and now you can see from the reply as to what is the attitude of the opposition. It's dated 12th May 1977. Dear Mr. Bhutto, you will recall that during your visit to me at Sihala on 11th May, I had told you that I would, after consultation with my colleagues, inform you whether further discussions between us could help to resolve the present political deadlock. I have accordingly informed my colleagues at Sihala camp prison of your point of view as communicated to me. This is summarized below. A. The present internal and external situation is not conducive to the holding of fresh elections in the country. They have admitted that I said the present internal and external situation is not conducive to the holding of fresh elections in the country. I have not said that in the future it will not be, in the foreseeable future it will not be, but I said at present, and they have conceded. B. Notwithstanding your views on the undesirability of holding elections for the National Assembly, they should have said here, at present, but they have left that out here, you nevertheless favor the continuance of a political dialogue, in the sense in which I have mentioned it to you, that let us discuss all these matters, and when we can hold the National Assembly elections. If we hold the National Assembly elections, the timing of the National Assembly elections will also be very important. Your views have been given the fullest consideration by my colleagues in our meeting today, and we are unanimously of the view that your understanding of the political problem and its remedy is so different from that of the nation that no purpose would be served by the continuance of such fruitless meetings. In communicating this view to you, I would like to remind you of your own admission in a press conference that grave irregularities have been committed in the 7th March elections by your ministers, government officials and colleagues. I would also like to draw your attention to an APP report appearing in the Gujarati language daily Millat of Karachi of 6th May, in which the Chief Election Commissioner is quoted as having said that irregularities have been committed on such a large scale that scrutiny of particular cases is of no avail, and that the only solution is the holding of general elections in the country. It is understood that this press release was withdrawn after having been issued and did not therefore appear in other national newspapers. I am also constrained to remind you of a highly provocative and utterly false charge made by you in the National Assembly on the 28th of April of PNA's involvement in an international conspiracy. Now this is interesting. The letters dated 12th May, and for the first time, in spite of the fact that I have met them previously on the 11th and before that, this was for the first time that they want to say that it was a highly provocative and utterly false charge made by the National Assembly on the 28th of PNA's involvement in an international conspiracy. Now the question here is this: I made my speech on the 28th of April, and on the 12th of May, belatedly, they take exception to it. If they really were not involved in some sort of maneuvers, why did they then hold discussions with me, have talks with me, and said that they were prepared to have a dialogue, that they were prepared to have National Assembly elections, that they wanted a precondition for the National Assembly elections? Why then all these days, from the 28th to the 11th of May, they did not consider this important enough or relevant enough to contradict? But now, in this letter, they take up this matter. We have also seen that during the last 3 weeks, whilst you have been expressing anxiety at the present situation and have emphasized your desire to see the problem resolved, your government has imprisoned and humiliated thousands of political workers, including women, and your so-called law enforcing agencies have been guilty of the murder of a large number of innocent men, women and children. The ghastly beating to death of a woman with rifle butts in Mirpur Khas 2 days ago was not, in our opinion, the action of a government that wished to see the problem resolved by negotiation. Absolutely incorrect. No truth in it. It is sad that you should have made this a matter of personal prestige and allowed your countrymen to suffer rather than bow before the public will. However, I made it a matter of my prestige. On the contrary, I have gone to them in Lahore, in Rawalpindi, in Sihala, have met them, have had a dialogue with them. I have not made this matter a question of my personal prestige. In spite of these humiliating and provocative actions of your government, and contrary to the wishes of the millions of our countrymen who are facing the bullets and lathis of your so-called law enforcing agencies, I agreed to meet you in the hope that an honorable and speedy end may be found to the present impasse. I did this in good faith and disregarded any false sense of vanity or pride. I did this in the hope that better sense would prevail and the country would be saved further bloodshed and misery. Unfortunately, these hopes have been belied, and my colleagues and I have come to the regretful conclusion that you have tried to create the impression of a political dialogue in the hope that in the meantime the people's will to resist and to continue the movement would be weakened. In view of this, I am sorry to have to inform you that I will be unable to receive you and to engage in further discussions until our three basic demands, which have already been communicated to you, are accepted. I hope that you will see the wisdom of adopting this course of action. It is, in our view, the only course that would lead us to the solution of the present problem, political problem. Now, sir, this is the reply that I received after 11th of May, when he told me that I understand your position, I see it, you want to discuss all the problems together, I see that, I see there is merit in it, and there was another person there, I will not mention, there was another person there, and he says, tomorrow, after discussion with our colleagues, we will send you a reply. Now, this is the reply that they have sent. Who is closing the doors on negotiations? Who is slamming the door on negotiations, on a political dialogue? Is the government slamming the door? Is the government not wanting to negotiate? Or is the opposition taking this kind of rigid and inflexible attitude to resolve the political crisis? Now, sir, the question is this. Three basic demands have been mentioned. One is my resignation. The other is dissolution of the National Assembly. Third is changing of the composition of the Election Commission. Now, the point is, as far as changing of the composition of the Election Commission is concerned, that is not a fundamental problem. That is cannot be regarded as a fundamental problem. But the other two points are important, are highly relevant. The dissolution of the National Assembly in the present circumstances and in the present conditions obtaining in Pakistan, in my judgment and in my evaluation, would be a disaster. And I wanted to explain to them in the meeting why it would be a disaster. However, they have chosen not to come. Now, sir, the point is this, that we have seen elections concluded only about a month and a half ago. It was a two-month campaign. And you have seen the results of this election, which was held just a month and a half ago. You have seen how the whole nation was ripped apart. You have seen that there were the horizontal and vertical polarization between the working classes, the poor peasants, and between the middle class, the rich people, a deep antagonism, a deep polarization developed in these elections. Then there were regional polarizations. Very intense regional polarizations have taken place. We cannot forget these things. On top of this very sensitive, very hot issue, which has brought both vertical and horizontal polarization of the acutest nature if the nation in the near future or in the foreseeable future is to get involved in an election campaign again, where to what watershed will the country be led to? And whose responsibility will it be? It's all very well for the opposition to make these charges. And as I told you, that with the National Assembly elections, the doors of foreign intervention, they are opened wide. That's why I said we could have held the provincial assembly elections, dealt with them, faced them, and then maybe gradually we could have gone to the National Assembly elections. But here to hold, as they demand, National Assembly elections, provincial assembly elections simultaneously on the same day and for the whole country, right from the National Assembly to the provincial assembly, to be ripped open. This is not an easy matter to answer. After all, the demand is made by a defeated party. What kind of a precedent will be set that if every time a party defeated at the polls, whether there are some seats in doubt or not, but there is no doubt that the Pakistan People's Party won the elections. This even our antagonists have said. This has been admitted by impartial observers. This has been admitted by them as well. They know it in their hearts of hearts that we won the elections. But now, if by going to the streets and by creating an agitation, they can demand that the National Assembly elections should be undone, then the point is that in future, every government will have to step aside and give the opposition, whether it wins or not, whether it comes in a minority or not, the power to form a government and to dictate whether the assembly should remain or not. As I said, the assembly is the highest tribunal. It's the highest institution, the National Assembly, in the country. Now the point is, in my judgment, I have just given one or two of these points, that apart from the polarization, which is both vertical and horizontal, the foreign intervention, which has been immense, an election has just taken place, and then on the dictation and the demand of a minority party, of a party that has been defeated in the election, to hold elections afresh to the National Assembly without justification, that would be setting a terrible precedent. And so I, in my judgment, feel that I would be really opening the Pandora's box if I were to concede to this demand. But at the same time, I was prepared to meet and discuss with them and go into further details on all these problems. But they said, no, we are not prepared to hear you. We are not prepared to hear you. You must first agree to dissolve the National Assembly. But I did not resist there also. I went to the members of the House. I called a meeting of the parliamentary party on the 10th of this month, 3 days ago. You were also present. The whole of the party met. And I told the members of the party that in my judgment, it will be fatal for Pakistan in these circumstances and in these conditions and in these times to dissolve the National Assembly of Pakistan in these circumstances, but I might be wrong in my judgment. And if I am wrong in my judgment and I have taken a position, and I sincerely feel that it would be wrong, I said, well, then you choose another leader of the House. I called upon the members very sincerely and very honestly, with all sincerity. I said, well, the point is, then you choose a new leader of the House who will be in a position to negotiate on the dissolution of the National Assembly election. Because I, not only that I am committed to it, but I have, in my judgment, good reasons to be committed to this point, that the National Assembly at this point of time or in the foreseeable future, its dissolution will be disastrous and fatal for Pakistan. But I said, anyone else here who does not feel that and feel that very readily and very easily the National Assembly can just be dissolved 2 months after its election. I said, yes, come, I'll be fully prepared to work with that gentleman. I would be prepared to work with that gentleman. I'd be prepared to sit in the assembly. I'd be prepared to assist. But the House did not agree with my views. They said, no, we do not want you to be replaced. We want you to continue to be the leader of the House. And we repose full confidence in you, and none of us would like to take this position, which is contrary to the position which you have taken. And they all said that you have taken the correct position. Now, but the point is that the constitutional road, the constitutional method which was available to me, I was prepared. If anyone thinks that I am clinging on to this chair and that come what may, I want to stick to it, well, on the 10th of this month, I told the party, choose someone else, get someone else to get to become the leader of the House. They rejected that. So the question of my resignation is not a vital issue. But again, my resignation has to be done according to principles. That is why I went to the